sure you are getting the most out of your retirement? For all the years of your retirement? That's the primary goal of More Living with Jim Brogan and our Dollars and Cents segment, where we provide you with an important financial tip that will help positively impact the quality of your life in retirement. And now, here's Jim with this week's Dollars and Cents tip.
What is the most overlooked area in your estate plan? And there's no question in my mind, it is how we pass on our IRAs, our 401ks, and other retirement accounts. You have to realize several things on your retirement accounts. Number one, you have not paid the income taxes on most, if not all, of the money in your retirement accounts, everything except for the Roth IRA or Roth 401k. Everything else, 403b, 457, IRA, 401k, you've never paid any of the income tax on most, if not all, of that money. According to the IRS, over 90% of all of these accounts are completely cashed in when the second spouse dies. If you didn't pay the income tax on that money, who do you think's going to pay the income tax? It's going to be your beneficiaries. You're basically leaving your children and grandchildren an income tax time bomb. And overwhelmingly, that tax time bomb goes off and all of those income taxes come due when you pass away. And there are several fundamental things that you need to understand. And the main number one fundamental thing I want you to leave with is, how do you complete your beneficiary designations? Because it's important to note that the beneficiary designation on your retirement accounts supersedes your will. Your will has absolutely nothing to do with how and when your retirement accounts are distributed and to whom, if you have a living beneficiary. And the beneficiary designation on the little box on the form, there's no legal language in there. It's a little box on a form. For most of you, especially if your retirement age or getting close, you know, certainly over 50, your retirement accounts, if you add them all together, are maybe your single largest asset, if not second behind your house. And yet this little box on this form is going to have complete control and authority over who gets what. The will, which is maybe 8 or 10 or 12 pages of legal language, has nothing to do with who gets what. And so it creates all kinds of problems. If people don't pass away in the right order, you could end up disinheriting a whole arm of the family. Sometimes you don't have a designated beneficiary, and then the asset goes into probate. One of the nice things of naming a beneficiary is you bypass probate. But if you have no living beneficiary, what if you named your spouse and you died in an accident together? Now it's going to the estate. Now the will control it, but now you've stuck it into probate, and you've blown up all of those income taxes. There's two big issues here. There's, how do you name beneficiaries and covering all the things you need to cover? What if there's a minor beneficiary? Who's going to be over the money for the minor? I mean, you cover that stuff in a will. Where are you going to cover that in a box on a beneficiary designation? There's nowhere to put that information. And then the second is the income tax time bomb. How do you give your kids and your grandkids, or whoever your loved ones are that you're leaving your retirement accounts to, how do you give them options to deal with that tax time bomb, because they can actually take distributions over the remainder of their lifetimes? They're in complete control of that. They can always take money out whenever they want. But the idea is they can stretch those benefits from your retirement account across their lifetime. But over 90% of the time, that's not what happens. So there's a lot of reasons why. Most of it is how you name your beneficiary designations. It's so critically important that you take more time than just filling out a box on a form. I believe in customized beneficiary designations that you know, maybe 3 pages long, that have a lot of the legal language you need in there. What if people don't die in the right order? What if you have a minor beneficiary? You know, split, being able to get all these tax goodies. I have a resource that I would like for you to download right now, and it is my beneficiary checklist. If you go to broganfinancial.com and click on resources, scroll down, it's the beneficiary checklist. And you can download that. And I'll tell you, that beneficiary checklist is about 3 pages long of things you need to be thinking through when you name your beneficiaries. It is not a simple thing. It is a very complicated thing. One of the number one things you'll learn from downloading this checklist is that this is complex. And it is the key to not having an income tax time bomb go off on your kids when you pass away with your retirement accounts. So go to BroganFinancial.com. Click on resources. You can download my beneficiary checklist. Regardless of what you do, though, incorporating beneficiary planning on your retirement accounts in with your other legal documents becomes critically important if you don't want significant tax and control problems upon your death.
That's our Dollars and Cents segment for this week. You can find this week's Dollars and Cents segment and others by visiting BroganFinancial.com.